TV.
This is a wicked eon. As if you need any proof of that, but I'm going to give you proof of it. Yet there are some today preaching that it is not a wicked eon, that it is an eon full of grace, full of happiness and joy, where there is no pressing need for the Lord to return. Yep, I'm back on this again. Yep, I'm back on this again because I'm continuing what I started a few days ago when I talked about the snatching away. And I've felt this way for years, but I feel it more now. For years, I felt that I am a 911 evangelist. I'm an emergency evangelist. I see everyone as in a state of emergency. The world is in a state of emergency. People personally are in a state of emergency. Henry David Thoreau would say it this way, men everywhere lead lives of quiet desperation. I say it's a day of emergency. And you may be sitting there watching the show and have some semblance of peace, some slight temporary bubble of contentment where you can see through to maybe survive the next 25 minutes. But it won't be long until some gloom, some trial, some remembrance, some pain hits you that reminds you all over again that it is a wicked eon and that we are to be desperately, by nature, as children of God, desperately seeking to be released from our mortality, released from our bonds to sin and death, released into the glory that was promised us by our Lord Jesus Christ. And anyone who is telling you different is teaching a false gospel, and they and their false gospel are anathema. Any gospel which teaches a longing to see this wicked eon extended, to misname this wicked eon as an era of grace. And for a long time, I myself mistakenly called this an era of grace. It is not an era of grace. It is a wicked eon. It is an era that contains a message of grace, and it is only by grace. And this is the action of grace. I'm going to read this to you in Galatians. It is the action of grace that delivers us from guilt and condemnation, and that chooses us for members of the body of Christ, that we may survive, that we may live to fight another day, because the days are wicked. And Paul prophesies when he says, wicked men shall wax worse and worse. And we are in the middle of it. And there's a new category now of false gospel. I don't even think Paul could recognize our day. I don't even think he would recognize that there could possibly be ministers of his gospel that would pray for an elongation of this wicked eon. I don't think Paul could have imagined a Clyde Pilkington or a Steve Martin who would come up with a book called The Leaping Jesus that portrays Jesus Christ not as a man of sorrows, but as a man leaping across the hills like Julie Andrews singing in The Sound of Music. And who would teach that when Paul says the era is limited, that is, the era is being wrapped up, the era is being completed, that belonged to a former day. Now the era is grandly and beautifully extended. This era of pain and misery and suffering and torture and death and suicide and anxiety and depression and kidnapping and divorce, this day is to be hoped for to be extended just because there's an operation of grace that is causing people to hang on by their fingernails. Grace is causing you and me to hang on by our fingernails. And because grace is in play, causing us to survive, we are to think of it now as an era of grace, as an eon of grace. And yet, no, the Word of God says it is a wicked eon, that wicked men shall wax worse and worse, and that it is a wicked day. And I'm going to tell you what the word wicked means in the Greek. Before I do that, before I tell you of the new false evangel, and before I go to verses that use the word wickedness in the context, I want you to watch a video by our sister. I watched it yesterday, and my mind was blown. It was one of the most real videos I've ever seen. It's Jennifer Campbell, our sister in Christ, who is going through great suffering. She makes a video called, her channel is JKC007. This particular video, which I'm going to link below, has 589 views. She made it 2 weeks ago. It should have 2,000 views. Because you're going to find comfort. And this sounds terrible, but you're going to find comfort in Jennifer's misery. I did, because I'm suffering as well. And Jennifer recognizes my particular suffering in her video. But that's not why I want you to watch this. I want you to watch this because of the transparency by which she expresses her suffering. And yet during it, and this is what is remarkable, and this is what stuns you to silence, during it she recognizes the sovereignty of God. In fact, the title of this video is, Not Until You Go Through a Living Hell Can You Talk About God's Sovereignty. And she mentions Dan Sheridan in this video. That Dan Sheridan cracked from the pressures of the world or the pressures of the wicked day. Or maybe he fell for Clyde's lie that this is an era of leaping upon the hills like Julie Andrews, and that we're supposed to be these happy people like Joel Osteen type Christians. And she's finding herself not that and wondering, what's wrong with me? And you watch this video and the time just goes by, because this is a person in this video with no freaking filters. And you rarely find this. You rarely find a video like this. This video is a find to treasure. I've done it before. It doesn't happen very often. I've never quite seen it to this extent. No filters. I have seen it. It's rare. You need to watch this. It's linked below. I looked up some statistics. This is the way I see the evangel. What do you dial when it's an emergency? Dial 911, right? Yeah, 911. The whole world is on 911. This is not a relaxing eon. I can't fully be satisfied in a wicked eon just because I have a heart for the human race. And so does our sister Jennifer. Some people don't. Some people are completely oblivious of the suffering of the world, like Clyde Pilkington. Oblivious. He doesn't have that chip. I don't know why. I've said he has. My sister got mad at me. Kelly said, you really shouldn't have said that. Wasn't nice. What did I say? You said that Clyde had the naivete of a 2-year-old. I said he does. I lived with the man. He's a loving man. He's a great husband, great father. Smart guy, but he has the naivety of a 2-year-old. Just things don't register of what's happening. There's no sense of urgency. There's no sense of 911. There's no sense of the terror that rips through the minds of people. There's no sense of the mental torture, the physical torture, the emotional torture that people endure, some quietly, some screamingly. And I don't know, I want to say lucky guy. Lucky guy. Jennifer's not feeling that. I'm not feeling that. You're not feeling that. All we feel is the heaviness. And yet what keeps us going every day? It is grace. God has put joy in our hearts because of that grace. But it doesn't translate to this. This is Joel Osteen bullshit. I didn't even think that book cover was real. My sister sent it to me. This is Clyde's latest book. I said, yeah, that's a good one. I thought it was a joke. No, it's real. Rethinking the Man of Sorrows. Because they've changed the word grace to the word joy. They've gotten rid of grace, taken it out of the divine vocabulary. That's their new thing. Clyde and Steve Martin. They're remaking the evangel. They're making it exciting. They're making it new. And yet why do I feel a burden for my sister, for my brothers and sisters, for those in the world who aren't even in the body of Christ, who are suffering every day? Approximately 3,250 people die from road traffic crashes worldwide every day. A little statistic for you to perk up your Monday. 3,250 people die from road traffic crashes. If you've ever been in a crash, if you ever have known the shock of going to work and the next moment you're hanging upside down from your seatbelt, or you're off the side of the road, or your car is on fire, or the panic, the agony. If you've ever known that, that's the sick feeling of seeing it happen to someone else. Think that it happens every 24 to 26 seconds every day. Someone goes through that. These are fatalities multiplied by 1,000. The near fatalities, the terror, the heart-rending experience of running a stop sign and hitting someone. The sound of the impact. I remember that. I was almost killed in 1991 by hitting a car. Our combined speed was 92 miles an hour. It's on a country road, intersection of a country road near Willard, Ohio. I was driving to work at the post office. I was going 50 miles an hour. He was probably going 45 miles an hour. And if I had T-boned him at 90 degrees, neither one of us would be here right now. I would not be making this video, but I hit his quarter panel. I hit his rear quarter panel, spun us. That saved my life. Today, this is happening to someone. I think of the song, Edmund Fitzgerald. Does anyone know where the love of God goes when the waves turn the minutes to hours? Jesus Christ himself wondered where the love of God went as he suffered and writhed naked upon that Roman torture stake. Somebody's going through this. Somebody else is drinking coffee and reading the newspaper. Terrific. Somebody else is walking hand in hand with their spouse. Somebody else is witnessing their child's first step. Thank God. I thank God that anyone's happy for a moment. But I can't forget about these people. And while there is no exact global daily count for total heart attacks, the British Heart Foundation Global CVD statistics report that cardiovascular diseases cause an average of 55,000 deaths each day worldwide. 55,000 deaths each day worldwide. That's one global cardiovascular death every 1.5 seconds. And then there's the ensuing funeral. There's the notification of the next of kin, the husband or the wife, or the husband, or the daughter, or the son. You liking this, Eon? God, what's wrong with you? And I know I'm not talking to anybody on this channel, because everyone here on this channel is longing, is loving Christ's appearance, because they know that Christ's appearance is the beginning of not only their deliverance, but the deliverance of the world. And this is what Jennifer says. And I don't know if she originally heard me say this, like years ago, because I forgot I had said it, but I'm listening to her, and I'm getting it from her, and I'm remembering, yes, that's it. It's not about our beautiful trip to the heavenly realms. And I talked about this last week, that we concentrate on that so much, too much. It's about the beginning of the salvation of the world. It's about ending this wickedness upon the earth. Ending it. Beginning. Every day that goes by does not begin the restitution, the restoration, the reconciliation of the world. Every day that goes by does not begin it. Every day that goes by continues the misery. Who the hell wants another day to go by? Clyde Pilkington, Steve Martin, they do. They want another day to go by, and another day, and another day, and another day, and another day. And I'm going to show you some quotes. And it's a false gospel, and it's anathema. It's not what Paul taught, and I'm going to prove it in Galatians. Right in Galatians, I'm going to prove it. Yeah, I can't get over it, obviously. I can't stop talking about it, because it gets more and more real that this snatching away is about the world. It's about the universe at large. It's about the beginning of the healing, the beginning of the stopping of this. Approximately 2,000 people die by suicide each day, based on data from World Health Organization, reporting over 720,000 annual global deaths. This averages out to roughly one death every 43 seconds. Every 43 seconds, somebody's killing themselves. Multiply that times 10,000 of the people who think about it, of the people who struggle with it every day and don't do it every day, but wake up the next morning thinking about it again and again and again and again and again and again and again. Because of Paul's prophecy in 2 Timothy 3:13, that wicked men shall wax worse and worse. What is the world made up of? Wicked men. And they're getting worse and worse. I thought they were wicked in Paul's day. Oh, they were. But they're worse in our day. And we're living in the tail end of the wicked eon. And yet some people celebrate this and want it to continue and hope it continues and don't want to see the Lord anytime soon. These people are sick puppies and they need to be exposed and rebuked. And their false gospel must be labeled anathema so that no one can fall into the trap of thinking that maybe they're crazy. This is projection. They're calling us crazy. Because why? We're supposed to be living like Joel Osteen. We're supposed to be leaping like the leaping Jesus. Or are we living like the man of sorrows, who was walking through the valley of the shadow of death every day of his life? I'm not saying he didn't laugh. I'm not saying he didn't have wine with friends. I'm not saying he didn't go to the occasional wedding. Maybe told the occasional joke, but it didn't define his life. That's for dang sure. More than 26,000 people die from cancer each day. Cancer. Oh, that's a beauty, cancer. That's the scariest word anybody can hear. It's the scariest word people can hear. You know how many people are dealing with that? Thousands and thousands of people. Today, we'll find out that they have it. And it'll change their life. Their life will never be the same, ever. And then 26,000 people die from it each day worldwide. That's one every 18 minutes. Listen to this. Future projections. Annual cases and deaths are expected to rise sharply toward 2050 without major improvements in care and prevention. What about all the money going toward care and prevention? They're not trying. I can tell you about the care. It's shit. And they're not trying to prevent it. They don't want to prevent it because it's a moneymaker. because wicked men shall wax worse and worse. Cancer's a goddamn business. That's why the future projections are so glum. How can they project that? Because they're the ones in charge of making sure there's no cure. There is a cure. There are cures, but you have to find them on your own. From Grandma Jones and Aunt Betty, that's where your cures are. My sister has a coffee mug she sent me. You've heard the phrase, believe the science. There is real science, and I respect science, but there's also consensus science, which says that the majority are always right. The majority are not always right. Most of the time, the majority are wrong. This mug says, believe the silenced. Those who are silenced, those who are told to shut up, like Peter and John in Jesus' day were told to shut up, stop teaching on this. I've been told, stop teaching on this. Stop teaching on this or I will, never mind. I've been threatened. I've never stopped teaching, and it's cost me. We're suffering. Nobody wants to find a cure. The only cure is the prior expectation that we're pre-expectant in the Christ. I want to go to Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not from men, neither through a man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who rouses him from among the dead. And all the brethren with me to the ecclesias of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives himself for our sins, that he might extricate us out of the present wicked eon. Listen very carefully. This is our apostle under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is calling this the present wicked eon. It's wicked. And our expectation is to be extricated, escape, taken out of the present wicked eon according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory for the eons of the eons. Amen. Verse 6, I am marveling that thus swiftly your transfer from that which calls you, and I tend now to look at that in the immediate context of that which calls you, is to be extricated out of the present wicked eon. That is what calls you. I know Paul's eventually getting to the Galatians being assaulted by the circumcisionists, trying to trick them into finishing their salvation with law. But I'm looking at it today as something completely different and even more insidious, even more wretched. The expectation that we might be extricated out of the present wicked eon. And then Paul says, I'm marveling that swiftly you're transferred from that which calls you, that in the grace of Christ, it's the grace of Christ. That's the purpose of grace in the world. Yes, there's grace in the world. Yes, this eon contains a message of grace, but it is that grace that causes us to realize our pre-expectation, that we're pre-expectant in Christ, Ephesians, and that he might extricate us out of the present wicked eon. But today, there's a false evangel calling people out of that, telling them not to expect to be extricated out of the present wicked eon, denying that there is a snatching away of the body of Christ, calling the wicked eon a good eon, a fine eon, a pleasant eon, that because it is not the era of law, deserves to be extended for another 500 years, possibly. The eon has been completely misrepresented by the Clyde Pilkington ministry and his cohorts, completely misrepresented to the point that it has become an anathema gospel. It is a different evangel. But it's not another, except be that some who are disturbing you want to distort the evangel of Christ. Part of the evangel of Christ is grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives himself for our sins so that he might extricate us out of the present wicked eon according to the will of our God and Father. That's part of the gospel, being extricated out of the present wicked eon. It makes no sense if the eon is not wicked. It is a wicked eon. 2 Timothy 3, starting with verse 10. Now you fully follow me. Paul says to Timothy, you fully follow me in my teaching, motive, purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, suffering. What? Persecution, suffering, Paul. You're living in a glorious day here, such as occurred to me in Antioch, in Iconium, and Lystra, persecution such as I undergo, and out of them all the Lord rescues me, and all who are wanting to live devoutly in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted. What? Yet wicked men, verse 13, 2 Timothy 3, yet wicked men and swindlers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. There are deceivers among us, even in the body of Christ, teaching false doctrines. And I realize now they are deceivers. I will prove that too in a soon future day. I never would have said that before, but I have discovered that they are purposely deceiving. I will show you the evidence. Now you be remaining in what you learned. This is why teaching is so important. This is why exposure, rebuke, and entreaty is so important. Now you be remaining in what you learned and verified, being aware from whom you learned it. From whom? Comes from people. Comes from evangelists. Comes from heralds. And you know who they are because you have spiritual sensitivity. You know who they are. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Be not joint participants in the unfruitful acts of darkness, yet rather be exposing them also. For it is a shame even to speak of the hidden things occurring, done by them. Now all that which is being exposed by the light is made manifest, for everything which is making manifest is light. Wherefore he is saying, rouse, O drowsy one, and rise from among the dead, and Christ shall dawn upon you. Be observing accurately then, be observing accurately. Watch what's happening. See the world for what it is. How you are walking, not as unwise, but wise. Why? Because you must reclaim the era. What do you mean by that, Paul? The days are wicked. Are we to think that the days became less wicked after Paul wrote this? Did they become less wicked? This is Ephesians. According to Clyde, this is the greatest letter. Days are wicked. And in 2 Timothy, also, Paul's happens to be not also, but Paul's last letter is the one I just read from. Wicked men and swindlers shall wax worse and worse. And yet somehow we're in a era that deserves by virtue of its pleasantness, of the grace that just causes people to hang on by their fingernails. This era deserves to be extended. This era deserves to be embraced in our hearts. And we are to now give up, abandon the truth of the snatching away, relegate it to a prehistoric era that is no longer with us. Some stupid people who used to believe in it, bunch of Israelites, doesn't apply to us anymore. That's what we're to believe now? No. The men who are telling you this are swindlers. They're swindling you. They're deceiving you. And they're teaching a false gospel because they're taking away your expectation. And what kind of a bubble do they live in? Ooh, God, that bubble must be. Remember that big bubble thing you used to get as a kid? Big giant ring, you put it in a big the bubble they must be in. My God. Therefore, do not become imprudent. Thinking that this is a glorious eon is imprudent. But understand what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is for, I already read it, for you to be extricated out of the present wicked eon. That's the will of the Lord. Wicked. It's a wicked eon. Do you know what that word means? Misery gush. Poneron is the Greek word poneron. P-O-N-E-R-O-N. Misery gush. Those are the English elements. Misery gush. Misery gush. Clyde Pilkington writes in one of his newsletters, what an economy grace has been. What else would we expect from the pure grace of God? It has indeed been vast and seemingly boundless. It has spanned nearly two millennia, which pales in comparison to Paul's previous profession that the time is short. Paul didn't even say the time was short. This is a misquote of scripture. Paul said the era is limited, but he twists it to say the time is short. This is deception, taken from the King James Version. The law spanned just over 1,500 years. If the law, which caused sin to increase, lasted some 15 centuries, does it not make divine sense that grace would abound long past such a period? Grace now stands at nearly 20 centuries. No, a wicked eon now stands at over 20 centuries, not grace. It so happens, by the grace of God, that we're able to hang on by grace. Is it nearly over? Clyde writes, is grace about to cease by our appearing with Christ in glory? Or, and this is where he gets excited, I just get big, or has grace another 5 centuries? Or perhaps another 10 centuries to double the duration of law? Or even well beyond that? Oh, what kind of show will God make of this great attribute of his? None of us should dare to be so presumptuous as to estimate the era, the end of the era of his grace. How about the end of the era of death, misery, destruction, and wickedness?